little to do with what's going on around us, and but I think we need to get off that subject for a while anyway. I turn on the TV and I hear the same thing over and over: suffering, dying, sickness. Wait it out. So I just decided just to use that same message I heard last and let it go over in my head without turning the TV back on. 1 John chapter 4. If you got your Bible, open it up. And of course, that's old King James Bible. If you got your King James Bible, open it up. If you got another one, open it up. Maybe it'll be close. But 1 John chapter 4, if you don't have your Bible. And we're going to read verses 2-6. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, I got to thinking, the situation that's going on, everybody being shut up and people saying, you know, we can't get the gospel out. We can't preach, we can't witness, we can't knock on doors, we can't go visit people. Let me tell you something, you're wrong. Everybody comes in contact with somebody somehow every day. Now, a lot of people say, well, preacher, why do you make such a big deal out of confessing the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is that a big deal? Can I not just be a quiet Christian about this thing? Can I not be a secret Christian so that I don't make people mad at me or my family mad at me? Why make the big deal? Well, I'll tell you why. Some say they believe on him, but they have never openly confessed their faith in Christ. It's almost like they're ashamed of it. They've never confessed it to a friend. They've never confessed it to a family member. I grew up with all kind of people who went to church. And as far as I know, other than my sister Judy, with her simple mind, she didn't learn how to read till she was 50-something years old. My sister Judy my nephew Jerry would witness to me. They'd witness to me. They didn't really know how to do it. They did the best they could. But other than that, I didn't have anybody. People would say, you need to quit drinking that liquor, you're going to go to hell. I said, well, I'm going to go to hell then. And somebody said, well, you need to quit cussing, you're going to go to hell. I said, well, I'll be going to hell then. Well, you need to quit running around with that crowd, you're going to go to hell. I said, well, I guess I'll just go to hell then. Everybody I know is like this. And they never told me the why or the how or the who. And so, therefore, they didn't confess Christ with me. They were just trying to straighten me out. Here's what I think the problem is. I think so many believers would just be happy if the people around them would straighten out. If they just quit lying, they quit cussing, they quit stealing, they quit fornicating, they quit homosexuality, all these things. Most Christians would never say another word to them. And when they do say something, it's only in condemnation. They need to quit this. They need to quit that. They need to start this. But they don't tell them how to do that. You see, those same people, they've tried to quit 1,000 times. You know, I quit smoking 200 times before I got saved. I quit drinking. I quit running around with that crowd. But that's not going to save me. That's not going to save me. And it's not going to save you. The Bible says that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, listen to me. Listen. Some folks live right and they never mention the name of Christ. They live right, and they never mention the name of Christ. And then, listen to this. People, they'll say this, I let people see Christ in me. I let people see Christ in me. Well, guess what? There's a lot of good people live in the world. And the lost people don't know why they're good unless we tell them why we're good. The Muslim's good. A real Muslim tries to dress right and got a particular diet, and they're not supposed to commit adultery or fornication or lie and all those things. The Jehovah's Witnesses like that. The Mormons like that. All these people like that. But everybody, look, they're not going to heaven. Because they don't know how. They think not doing these things or doing something will merit them eternal life. And when we have the secret in our heart and in our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, and we don't tell people, we don't share that, we don't confess Christ, not confess Baptist. I'm Baptist, not ashamed of it. The day I got saved, I was saved in a Baptist church. They're the ones that cared about me. They're the ones that came to my house and witnessed to me over and over and over and over. The Baptists are the ones that prayed for me. They're the ones that cried over me and wept over me and encouraged me to get saved. And I got saved in a Baptist church. I didn't know the difference between a Baptist and an Episcopalian. I thought they were all the same. And I just thought they were different classes of society. But the ones that got me to the Lord was Baptists. They're the ones that confessed Christ to me. They're the ones that led me to confess Christ. And so therefore I'm saved in the Baptist church. But going to Baptist church don't save you any more than parking a bicycle in the river makes it a boat. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Ron. Amen. I like that. So why make a big deal out of confessing Christ? Well, number one, it is necessary for your salvation. In order for you to be saved, you have to confess Christ first yourself. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, tell him you believe on him, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now listen to this. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's necessary for you to confess Christ to be saved. You must confess that you believe on Him as your personal Savior, that He died for your sins, rose from the dead the third day, and is now seated on the right hand of the Father interceding for you. You confess that to God and ask Him to save you, and you get born again confessing Christ. It's necessary for your salvation. If you've never done that, you're not saved. You say, well, I believe. Well, James says the devils believe and they tremble. Well, I have faith. Well, what do you got faith in? Because if you've never believed on Christ and confessed to Him your sinfulness and confessed to Him your need of salvation, then you're not saved. You're not saved. See? You must be born again. And you get that by confessing Christ from your mouth and from your heart, and you'll be born again. Number two, what's the big deal about this confessing Christ? Preacher, what's the big deal? We got a lot of things going on here. All right, look at Matthew 10:32. Now, not only do I want to confess Christ, not only do I want to know that He loves me and He has saved me, but Matthew 10:32, He says this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. I want him to confess me. So by me confessing Him to others while I'm doing that, He's confessing me to the Father, and He's saying, Father, that's old Ron Roddy down there. You remember when I saved him? You remember how low down and sorry he was and how he was headed to hell as fast as anything, and how one day he called on me and asked me to save him? Father, I want you to know I'm proud of that boy. That's one of ours, Lord. Father, that's one of ours. That Ron Wright, he's confessing me. Listen to him, Father, he's confessing me. He says, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. And also at the judgment, that'll be done too. Now, so what's the big deal? Well, not only do I not want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but I don't want him to be ashamed of me either. Now, I never had a father. If I ever had one, earthly father, I never had one, never met him. If I'd had one, I wouldn't want him to be ashamed of me. I wouldn't want him to be ashamed of me. I never had a father, as far as I can remember, living in the house with us. And I wouldn't want him to be ashamed of me. I would not. And guess what? I wouldn't want my heavenly father to be ashamed of me either. Now, I remember growing up, I loved my mama. I wasn't always good to my mama, especially when I turned a teenager. But I loved my mama. And I did a lot of things that I never wanted my mama to know about because I didn't want my mama to be ashamed of me. She bragged on me. She said, out of all my children, 9 children, she said, Ronnie's going to grow up to be something. Ronnie's going to go to college. Ronnie's smart. Ronnie's this. Ronnie's that. And boy, she said that. And every time I thought about doing something, most time I wouldn't hold back. I'd do things I shouldn't do. But I could hear that in my head and in my heart. And I didn't want her to be ashamed of me. So she never found out. I never smoked in front of my mama until after I was a grown man, got married. I never cussed in front of my mama. One time I got mad and I cussed in front of my mama and I felt bad about it. Now you listen to me. If you're gonna be a real Christian, you're gonna have to confess Christ by receiving him as your Savior and what he's done for you. And then if you want him not to be ashamed of you, it's not that you're gonna be the best person in town. You may still have things in your life that are not exactly right or questionable, and you're working on those, and you probably got some you fall over and over and over and over and over again with, and you have to confess them and repent over and over and over. But I've got news for you. If you're not ashamed of him, he's not going to be ashamed of you, even with all your faults. So, it ensures he confesses me if I confess him. Now look back at 1 John chapter 4 again. Look at verse 15. I'm talking about why make a big deal out of confessing Christ. Preacher, why do you talk so much about that? Why do you think that's such a big deal in the Christian life? Let me tell you something. I've pastored 3 churches. I've youth pastored in 3 different churches. I've held just about every job in the church. And I'm going to tell you something. I've met a lot of people that wasn't always what they ought to be, and they had a lot of failures. But the best Christians I ever met were those that confessed Christ even when they were ashamed of themselves. And then I met a lot of other people who live right, live clean, live godly, but they never witnessed or confessed to anybody. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Listen, it is evidence that you have a union with God, that you have unity with God, that God has accepted you as one of his, and you've accepted his Son as your Savior. The evidence is, let me read it again, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That's not talking about that drunk down there, that dope head that ain't going to do no better. They have no intention of getting saved, or some kind of terrible sinner living in terrible sin. All those people will, if you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? And they'll say, well, sure I do. But if you ask them, would you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there ever been a time where you repented of your sins and asked him to save you, and he came into your heart and your life, and now the Holy Spirit lives in you? Would you confess that he is the Savior? Would you confess that Jesus is, not was, but is, the ever-living Son of God? And very few that don't know him can stretch out into a lie like that. But you find somebody that's been born again and they're saved and they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You'll say, do you believe Jesus is Lord? And they'll say, yeah, and I'll go a little bit farther than that. I believe he's my Lord and my God. Just like old Thomas. And I said, it's necessary for salvation. I said, it ensures that he confesses us. And I said, it is evidence that we have him, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior. And then look at this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That word means Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Everyone that says yes, Jesus the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ has come in the flesh. He was born in a sinless body and he lived a sinless life and he died in sinner's place. Look. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Did you know that's a test of being a saint? That's a test. Now, I got saved. I was young when I got saved. I look back on it now. March the 5th, 1978. Fixing to turn 66 now. That's over 40 years ago and I got saved. And I thought everybody felt like me that day. I remember I thought everybody in that church and everybody in every church had the experience that I had had with the Lord Jesus Christ of the new birth through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I thought, boy, these people's got what I got and this is going to be good. I'm in a whole big old bunch, maybe 200 people that know him like I know him and this is going to be good. Well, it didn't take long to realize some of them was just there because mom and daddy made them come. And some of them were in Sunday school just because his wife drug him in Sunday school. And some of them sang in the choir because they thought they had great talent. And some held offices because they thought they were great businessmen or businesswomen. It didn't take long to see that there is a test of being saints, and it's the test of the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and my spirit now cries it out. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Eternal One. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. Now, why make a big deal out of confessing Christ? Well, it's a test of your faith. If you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. And then, listen to this, Matthew 10:33, and I'm just about through. Can you believe that? Matthew 10:33. I want you to look at Matt. Turn there with me. Matthew 10:33. Now, whosoever, let's start in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, that's the consequences of not confessing Christ. If you do not confess Jesus is Lord, call on him, turn from your sin, call on him, ask him to save you, you won't be saved. And if you're not saved, you can't confess him as your Savior in front of mankind and not be ashamed of him. And he said, if you can't confess him, then you're none of his. You're none of his. And if you'll go on and read the next verse, I think it is, he talks about Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. Not yet. But he brought war between human beings because some are so adamant about him not being the Christ and others are so adamant about him being the Christ, there's no way that we can get along. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, the modern day Christian and the idea of the Christian in the world today of the modern Christian is we don't make waves. and we're just timid and we're shy and we're quiet as a church mouse, and we're not supposed to say anything unless we're smiling and honey's running off our lips, you know. But I've got news for you. You start confessing Jesus Christ in public as your Lord and Savior, and you'll stir up a hornet's nest, and they'll see that God's in you. And it'll convict them, and they won't like it. Nobody likes being convicted by the Holy Ghost of their sins and their lost condition. So the next thing would be that the fear of man, I don't have time to turn there, but the fear of man in John chapter 7, go read it. The fear of man prevents people from confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, every time I've ever witnessed people and every time I've won somebody to Christ, I was scared to death. I was scared to death. I mean, it's just hard to do. Because the flesh, here's what the flesh says. If you talk to her about that, you're going to lose that friend. If you talk to him about that, you're going to lose your brother. If you talk to him about that, you're not going to get that bank loan. If you talk to that boss lady like that, she's not going to give you a promotion. That's what the flesh cries out. And then it'll say, and by the way, they go to church and they're going to think you're some kind of fanatic, some kind of weirdo. And all these thoughts go through your mind, you'll get scared. But once you open your mouth, God will put the words in your mouth and he'll bring scripture to remembrance and you'll confess Christ. That's why we make a big deal of it. And if you go back to Romans chapter 10, he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry good tidings and preach the gospel. How beautiful are those feet. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he goes on, he says, but how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I'm a preacher. But I've been called preacher since 2 weeks after I got saved and started witnessing to people. Now, the world doesn't know what a preacher is. The world doesn't know what a pastor is. The world doesn't know what a minister is. And everybody that names the name of Christ publicly, unashamedly, and tries to win them to Christ, they're going to label you as a preacher and a fanatic. At first they called me Deacon Ron, then they called me Preacher Ron, and I didn't know what either one of those was when I first got saved. But they're going to do that, and what they're going to do, they're going to try to put fear in you so you'll shut up. And then you'll get scared and you won't witness, you won't confess Christ when you should have. I was in a peculiar situation one time in my younger days when I was going to Bible college at night and working at Piedmont Distribution Center warehouses. And this young man was getting married, and he brought his young fiance over to the workplace, introduced her to everybody. He's a wonderful young man, and he was Jewish. And he and I had talked about Christ several times. He was not a real good practicing Jew, but he was Jewish, wore the Star of David. We talked about the Passover. His family still observed the Passover feast. And we'd had a few talks about it. And so he brought her over, and all the men and the women in that big warehouse, you know, came into the break room, and they was all congratulating them, you know. One lady's brought a little old cake, you know. And somebody said, well, somebody will say a prayer or something. And here I was in my 20s, just like him. And that young Jewish man looked at me and he said, Ron, would you pray for me and my girlfriend and our wedding and our marriage? And boy, I'm telling you, the old devil jumped on me. Because here's a Jew, and he liked me, and I liked him, and all these people standing around in there, and I've witnessed all of them. I've tried to live right and talk right, and I've tried to witness and confess Christ in front of all of them. And the old devil told me, boy, if you end this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, they are going to crucify you because they know he's a Jew. Well, I couldn't help it. I asked God to bless their marriage. I asked God to bless them, give them health and wealth and children. And with all my might, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And I looked up, and he was looking at me smiling, and he thanked me for that prayer. Now, look, we don't have to fear. A lot of people need what we have, and they're looking for it. But the devil will tell us they don't want to hear it, and they do. They want to hear it. Persecution will prevent it. You know, if you go to the Bible, all of the apostles died terrible deaths. All of them. And tortured and jailed and everything else. Paul in our jail, stone, left for dead, thrown over on the Isle of Patmos. Stephen in the book of Acts. Think about him. Think about the martyrs in Revelation chapter 20. It says they were under the throne of God and they praised God. And all those martyrs, those people that died for the name of Christ, they're in heaven now praising God. And when he comes back and takes over the earth, they're going to rejoice. You'll read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can't read that without crying. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's stories in there, and one of them was a man would not deny Christ, so the Romans tied his wife's one left arm to one horse, his right arm to the other horse, and told him, deny Christ or we're going to pull her apart. And he wouldn't, and they jerked their arms out of the socket, and then they chopped her head off. And he still wouldn't deny Christ, and he had two children and little children, and said, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to chop their head off. And he had to stand there and watch them chop their head off. And we got Baptists running all over town who are afraid to mention the name of Christ because they're afraid somebody will hurt their feelings. We'll be ashamed of ourselves. I read that book, I feel like I'm not even a good Christian at all. And God puts us in a little situation like we're in now with this virus, and we gripe and complain because we can't get out of the house. Why don't you get you some cards out of the drawer and write some of your kinfolks a note and say, I was thinking about you while I've been locked up here at the house, and I've been praying for you, and I hope you're saved. If you're not, let me tell you how. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on Christ. C, confess that and call on him, and he'll save you. You could send those out in Facebook messages on Messenger. You could send those out in text. You call people on the phone and talk to them. But confessing Christ is the most important part of the Christian life. You might get a lot of other things wrong, but when you get to heaven, the greatest thing you ever did or the greatest thing you didn't ever do was to confess Christ when you should have. And if you've never done it, you're not even saved. When this is over, I made up my mind, I'm going to do more witnessing. I've gotten lax lately, gotten kind of lax and got discouraged, but I'm going to do more witnessing when this is over. You don't know how bad it feels being locked up where I can't go knock on somebody's door. I'm going to do more of it. And I hope you will too. But while I'm in here, I'm going to send texts. I'm going to send sermons. You ought to share some of these sermons you watch on here with your friends. Send them to them personally. Don't just post them on your page. Say, hey, I'm saying this to him and I'm saying this to her. Because confessing Christ is the greatest work that you'll ever do. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you've never called on him. You've never asked him to save you. And that could be the reason that you don't confess him to men, because you don't know him. And tonight, all you have to do is bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I don't want to go to hell. I believe Jesus died for me, that he is your son. He did die in my place. He did rise from the dead. And the best way I know how, I'm asking him to save me right now, and he'll save you. You don't have to know Bible doctrine. You don't have to be a church member. You don't have to know a hymn. You don't have to know anything except you're a sinner and Jesus is the Savior. He's the Christ. He wants to save you. That's all you got to do. And if you quit witnessing, you ought to bow your head tonight. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You ought to bow your head and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've not been confessing you. And I'm ashamed of myself. Forgive me, cleanse me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me holy boldness, put the words in my mouth, and then give me the courage to do it. In a card, in a note, in a message, on a Facebook message, in a text message, over the telephone, or to my next door neighbor as I stand across the fence. You can do it. Let's do it. We'll take this time and use it for the glory of God instead of sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves and being scared to death we're going to die. That's right. I'm not saying be foolish. Somebody said, well, you know, we'll have church anyway, and the coronavirus can't harm us. I said, you want me to get the snakes and the poison out too? If we was having snake handling, drinking poison, you wouldn't come. You can look, even though the church is closed physically, it's never closed spiritually, and we're still supposed to be confessing Christ. Why don't we do that? I challenge you, do that. I challenge you this week, witness at least to one person that you know is not saved. At least, I challenge you. Father, bless the reading of your word. Help us now as we go out in this world, Lord. And lead us and guide us and protect us. And there's somebody there tonight that's not saved. They know they're not saved. They're listening to me right now. I pray they'd bow their head right now and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I ought to go to hell, but I don't want to go. And I believe Jesus died for me. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart, my life, and save me and take me to heaven when I die. And from this moment on, I'm going to trust you and nothing else. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you take him at his word, okay? And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. God bless y'all. Keep witnessing. Bye.